I want to share with you this morning what the Lord does for us daily. We just heard our memory verse, God is not unjust to forget our work and the love which we show to all the saints. God does not forget. But how quickly we can forget all that God does for us and how faithful He has been to us through the years. So I want to share this morning some of the things that the Lord does for us daily. A lot of things we do daily. We brush our teeth, we wash our face, I hope so. We don't forget to do those things. Many other things we do daily. And God is so faithful. He does so much for us daily. But we take a lot of things for granted. We're not conscious of how much He cares for us, how much He thinks about us. A lovely psalm, one of my favorite psalms, I read many times, and when you're tempted to be discouraged, Psalm 139. A beautiful psalm. I'll encourage you whenever you are tempted to be discouraged, just go and read this psalm. It's all about our relationship, the relationship that God has with you and me. And David, the psalmist, had that relationship. He begins, he says, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You understand my thought from afar. You scrutinize my path, my lying down, and are intimately acquainted with all my ways. And a lovely word in 17 and 18. The whole psalm, actually, if you read it through, you get time. He says, how precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would outnumber the sand. When I'm awake, I'm still with you. In the Living Bible, it says, how precious it is, Lord, to realize that you are thinking about me constantly. I can't even count how many times a day your thoughts turn toward me. And when I waken in the morning, you're still thinking of me. And the picture I get there is of a little baby, a little child in its mother's arms. And the mother puts it down, you know, very quickly it gets up. The mother has to pick it up again. And it goes off to sleep. And it opens its eyes again and sees it still in the arms of the mother. That's the picture I get. That's what we mean to God. When I awaken in the morning, whether we slept well or didn't sleep well, you're still thinking of me. Think about that. That's how much you and I, if we are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, we are part of God's family, that's how much we mean to Him. To God who is our Father. All through the night we sleep and get up in the morning. Have you ever thought of that? What did you think about this morning? You think about many things, you know, what we have to do, what I didn't do. So many things we get up in the morning. But are we conscious of this, that when I awake in the morning, like that little baby, looks into its mother's face, you're still thinking of me. Daily, that's how it is. Not just once or twice a week, but daily. And not just in the morning, but all through the day. Think of it, my brothers and sisters, that is what must draw us closer to Jesus. That's what must draw us closer to our Heavenly Father. Does so much for us daily. I want to share with you four things. A lot of things God does for us daily, but four things that He does for us daily. And the very first thing that we read in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, where Jesus taught His disciples to pray when they asked Him, "Teach us to pray." In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus said there, "When you pray, pray like this. Pray then in this way." Verse 9, "Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And then even before we ask for forgiveness, notice that. Verse 12 is when we ask for forgive us our sins as we forgive the sins of others. We forgive our debtors. Do not lead us into temptation. Right there, He says, pray. Give us this day our daily bread. That's what God does for us. And I hope you're not just thinking of food. That's part of it. God gives us our daily bread, what we need for our bodies, and so that we can be healthy, so that we can live and do God's will. And that's what our Father does every day. He gives us our daily bread. Enough. I don't think anybody starves or gets hungry. It's good. There are times we deny ourselves and skip a meal or we fast. But every day He gives us our daily bread. And not just, like I said, our food for us and our families, but that word that comes from God's mouth. I hope we see that. And that is what our Father gives us. He's more interested. He will give us our food and see that we don't starve. Our children will not starve. But Jesus said to the devil when he was hungry, he was tempted, and the devil said, "Turn those stones into bread if you're the Son of God." And Jesus said to him, "He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." I hope we realize that. Whether we have less or more to eat, whether we have enough, that in every situation I can get a word from God's mouth. And that He gives me not just daily, but all through the day. He's so faithful. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And Moses, and then Jesus recalled that. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, Moses reminded God's people of this very word that Jesus quoted to Satan. When he said that, you know, God let you get hungry. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3, if you like to look at it. He let you get hungry to humble you, to teach you, and make you understand this truth, that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. I hope you see that, my brother. I'm not talking about reading the Bible. Of course, God gives us His word from the Bible, from His word. But I'm talking about that word that God gives us for that particular situation, for that very thing that's bugging us, that very thing that weighs me down, that trial, that temptation. I can get a word from God's mouth, and I can live by that. And that's how Jesus overcame the devil. And Jesus told people who were only wanting to follow Him because He fed them, they came looking for Him. He says, not because you saw signs and wonders, not because you believe in Me, in John chapter 6, referring to that, in verse 26 and 27. He says, the truth or the matter is, and I'm reading from the Living Bible, is that you want to be with Me because I fed you. not because you believe in me. And that's how we have a lot of Christians in Christendom today. They want to follow Jesus. They want to be with him because of all that they can get from him, materially, financially, physically. And that's what these people, he says, the truth of the matter is, you're just coming because I filled your stomachs. That's why you want to follow me, not because you believe in me. And he says in verse 27, but you shouldn't be so concerned about perishable things like food. No, spend your energy seeking the eternal life that I, the Messiah, can give you. Don't work for food that is perishable. Doesn't mean that, you know, I quit my job, I don't work, I have to support my family. We have to eat to live. But I don't spend my life running after these things. Only working and eating because I just have to support my family. I have to see there's enough food on the table. Don't spend your energy, Jesus said. Spend your energy seeking for eternal life, to know God and Jesus, that whom he has sent. That is eternal life. To know God and Jesus whom he has sent. And God gives us that word daily. And Jesus taught us to pray, our Heavenly Father, Father, give me today my daily bread. That word that will come from your mouth, that will carry me through this day so that I can live for you. And that's what God gives us every day, daily. I hope we become thankful for that. I hope you're receiving that word from his mouth. And not just thankful for the food on the table, that you can thank him. Lord, thank you for that word. Whether you're driving, whether you're walking down the street, whether you're in the home thinking of something, and God gives you a word from his mouth to sustain you, to strengthen you, to encourage you, to give you life. That's how faithful he is, and that's what he gives us daily. The second thing in Isaiah chapter 50, another word that I often think about, Isaiah. These are words, these are scriptures we have read and heard through the years if you've been coming to this church. This is something that he does daily. Not only he gives us that word from his mouth daily, but it says here in Isaiah 15, verse 4, it says, the Lord God, listen to it, has given me the tongue of disciples, that I may know how to sustain the weary one with a word. He awakens me morning by morning, daily, morning through morning, not just today. He'll awaken me also tomorrow morning. For what? It says there in verse 4, at the end of the verse, he awakens my ear to listen as a disciple. To listen as a disciple. I cannot have the tongue of a disciple if I am not letting God awaken my ear morning by morning, daily, to listen. Yes, we get up, we thank God for another day, we thank God that he spared us to see another day, added another day to our life. There's many things like that, it's good. We praise him, we give him thanks. But remember this, my brothers and sisters, why did he wake you up this morning? Why did he wake me up this morning? He awoke my ear. I hope it's not just that we get up from our bed. He awakens our ear to listen. Oh, how difficult it is for us to learn to listen. We are quick to speak. We speak so much. But to listen, we are such bad listeners. Even to listen to one another. But to listen to God. And that's what he does every day, daily. Awakens my ear to listen as a disciple so that I may have the tongue of a disciple. You see the connection there? I cannot have the tongue of a disciple. I cannot speak graciously. I cannot speak kindly. I cannot speak to encourage if God did not awaken my ear in the morning. It's so important, my brothers and sisters, that we let God do that daily for us. Awaken our ear to listen, so that when I speak during the day, I can speak as a disciple. And that's what it says there. The Lord God has given me the tongue of a disciple. Do you and I have the tongue of a disciple? We can know that. And how we speak to us. How do I speak to the one who lives with us 24/7? How do I speak to my wife? And when I don't speak with the tongue of a disciple, am I quick to repent and take back my words and ask for forgiveness? Then my ears awake. But I think, oh, that's okay. She doesn't mind. She's used to it. Used to me getting upset or irritated or annoyed. It's okay. Then I'm deaf. I need to really repent. I need to have my ear pierced so that God can awaken my ear to listen, so that I can have the tongue of a disciple. And that's what God did for Jesus. You read in Psalm 40, verse 6 and 8, David's prophesying of Jesus here said, Psalm 40, verse 6, says, "Sacrifice and offering you have not desired. My ears you have opened." Or if you have a margin there, it says, "pierced." My ear you have pierced. And the picture of that, you go back to the Old Testament. Can't remember the reference. When a slave said he didn't want to be free in the year of Jubilee. And he said, "I love my master. I don't want to go free. I want to be his slave. And me, and I and my wife and my children are going to be here because I love my master." And there was a, and God commanded, there was a little ritual that there, he had to be taken to the door, and his ear lobe had to be pierced, and you know, a ring was put on the ear that signifies that I'm a slave for life because I love my master. That's the picture there. And that's speaking about Jesus. You see men wearing rings in their ears for whatever. And there's some wear it on the right and on the left and whatever that signifies. But to have my ear pierced so that I can listen. So that I can, because I love my master, I want to do his will. And that's what it says in Psalm 40. Verse 6 and 8. "Sacrifice and offering you have not desired. My ears you have pierced. Behold, I come to do thy will, O God. In the book it is written of me. I delight to do your will, O God. Your word is within my heart." That's the life that God wants you and me to live, my brothers and sisters. I delight to do your will. I'm not forced. I don't think it a burden, heavy to do your will, because I love you. And I want to do your will. My ear has been pierced. And that's what we need. If God is to awaken my ear daily, morning by morning, that's what I need if I'm to have the tongue of a disciple. And the Holy Spirit, through the writer of Hebrews, you know, says it a little differently there. But we get the whole meaning in Hebrews in chapter 10. Here again, this is something we have heard in the church many times. Hebrews 10 and verse 5. Hebrews 10. It says, verse 5, "Then when he comes into the world," and this is a quotation from Psalm 40, "sacrifice and offering you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me." So what do I understand from that? Under the old covenant, it was the ear and the tongue. Under the new covenant, not only my ear, not only my tongue, but my whole body. And that's speaking about Jesus. "A body you have prepared for me. In whole burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin you have taken no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me," not written for my wife or my children, But it's written of me to do your will, O God. I give you my body. I present my body to you. That is what God wants, my brothers and sisters, daily. He awakens my ear daily so that he can give me the tongue of a disciple. Not just my ear, not just my tongue, but my whole body. A body you have prepared for me. And it's written in your word about me. I come to do your will because I love you. I want to live for you all the days of my life. That's what God does for us daily. Think of it, my brothers and sisters, when you get up tomorrow morning. Think of that. Let God awaken your ear. And if your ear has become dull, you become deaf, from dull of hearing, the Holy Spirit speaks about that in the same letter of Hebrews. Become dull of hearing. Can't speak to you anymore. Jesus also said, there are many more things to speak to you, but you can't bear it. I need my ear to be pierced. I don't have to get up in the morning and just turn to the Bible and think that's what it means. No, I need my ear to be pierced. I have to see whether I really love God with all my heart, whether I love Jesus with all my heart, and think of what he's done for me, or I love other things, or I love somebody else, or I love my job. I need my ear to be pierced. You need your ear to be pierced, my brothers and sisters, so that we can give our bodies to God every day as a living sacrifice. The third thing that God does for us, not only he gives us our daily bread, not only that he gives us the tongue of a disciple and wakens us every day, morning by morning, but the third thing, Lamentations in chapter 3, another word that we have heard so often in this church. Lamentations chapter 3. That God gives us morning by morning new mercies. Morning through morning. Lamentations in 3 and verse 21. It says, this I recall to my mind. Verse 21. Therefore I have hope. What do I recall to my mind? The Lord's loving kindness indeed never ceases, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. New every morning. Great is your faithfulness, O Lord. Every morning, daily, I can get new mercies. In the Message Bible, I'd like to read it to you and you can follow it on the screen. And then it comes so beautifully there. You can see it on your screen. It says, God's loyal love couldn't have run out. His merciful love couldn't have dried up. They created new every morning. How great is your faithfulness. And he says, I'm sticking with God. I say it over. He's all I've got left. 22, 24 there. And then verse 25. God proves to be good to the man who passionately waits, to the woman who diligently seeks. It is a good thing to quietly hope. Quietly hope for help from God. It's a good thing when you're young, to stick it out through the hard times. I hope this is an encouraging word to you. Maybe there are some of you who need this word. It's a good thing when you're young, you young people, to stick it out through hard times. You're having a hard time? God's love hasn't run out for you. His mercies are new every morning. You got up this morning, you're not even conscious of it. New mercies today. And he proved how great his faithfulness is to you. Stick it out through hard times. Verse 28, when life is heavy, it's a Message Bible, and hard to take, go off by yourself. Enter the silence. Bow in prayer. Don't ask questions. Wait for hope to appear. Don't run from trouble. Take it full face. The worst is never the worst. I hope it encourages you. That's what our God is every day. This is how it is. Good thing to go off by yourself sometimes. Enter the silence. Go quiet. Go to the bathroom. And bow there in prayer. Humble yourself. Don't ask questions. Wait for hope to appear. Don't run from trouble. Whatever it is you may be facing. Whatever your boss says. Whatever the doctor says. Take it full faith. The worst is never the worst. Verse 31. Why? Because the master won't ever walk out and fail to return. If he works severely, he also works tenderly. Sometimes we have to go through discipline, which may seem severe, but he still works tenderly. His stockpiles of love are immense. He takes no pleasure. Listen to this, dear young people. He takes no pleasure in making life hard, in throwing roadblocks in the way. God takes no pleasure in throwing roadblocks in your way. You didn't get that job? Never mind. The worst is never the worst. God has something better for you. I hope this encourages you and all of us. His mercies are new every day, new every morning. And great is His faithfulness. When I go to bed at night, I can thank Him. Lord, You're so faithful in spite of me being so faithless. He remains faithful even though we are so faithless. I'd encourage you to read the word for the week if you never read it. I read it every week. I thank God for Brother Newton and all and the way God leads him to put what needs to be put each week. The secret of spiritual growth. Take time. You get it. You probably get it in your mail. Otherwise, take a copy. A short article. This is it, just 2 pages. Exchange your strength with divine strength. The Brother Frank's article. This is the secret of spirit. Exchange your strength with divine strength. Value the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And all that I've said so far without the Holy Spirit will make no sense. You'll end up being a servant of the letter, a servant of the old covenant, not of the new covenant of the Spirit. Value the anointing of the Holy Spirit. God will encourage you despite your past failures. That's the third point, the secret of spiritual growth. Because He says, a bruised reed He will not break. He will not put the wick of a candle about to die. He will not put out the wick of a candle. He does not break a bruised reed, and He does not snuff out a smoking candle. He fans it into flame. That is our God. That is our Father. I hope that that is your God and your Father. He's mine and I praise Him. I've known Him for 50 plus years. And all that I am sharing with you has been true in my life. And this is what I've experienced from God every day. He gives me my daily bread. I don't have to bother about food and having to work hard. I need that word from His mouth. He awakens my ear morning by morning. He has done that. And I seek to listen as a disciple. I fail Him sometimes, and I don't have the tongue of a disciple, but I quickly repent and humble myself so that I may have the tongue of a disciple, so that my ear may be awakened every day. And the third thing that I just shared with you, His mercies are new every morning. Never forget that, even when life gets hard. And the last thing, there in Psalm 68, verses 19 to 20. This is the fourth thing. There are many things God does for us daily, but this is the fourth thing. Not only as we saw, His mercies are new every morning and His faithfulness is great every day, whether we are conscious of it or not. But the fourth thing the psalmist says there in Psalm 68:19 to 20. Blessed be the Lord, who daily bears our burden. That's what God does. He daily bears our burden. Are we conscious of that, or we just take it for granted? The God who is our salvation, Selah. Pause and think about it. That's what Selah means. Blessed be the Lord who daily bears our burden. You don't have to carry it. Why do you carry it? You're not meant to carry it. Your shoulders are too weak for that. Your strength is too weak. Cast it on Him. That's what He says in Psalm 55, verse 22. You can turn there. Cast your burden upon the Lord, and He will sustain you. He will never allow the righteous to be shaken. I proved that through the years. Cast your burden, and whatever burden you may be carrying this morning, whatever it is, about your job, about your children, about your home, about the future, what's going to come, cast your burden upon the Lord, the Holy Spirit says. He will sustain you. He'll never allow the righteous to be shaken. If you're righteous and upright, you will never be shaken. Cast that burden. I want to say to some of you this morning who are carrying you, bring these burdens in, take them out with you. Will you from today remember this? That God daily, our Father daily bears our burden. That is what Jesus does for you and does for me. So I can bless Him. Blessed be the Lord who daily bears our burden. And Lord, I can bless You because You daily bear my burden. I can't bear it. I just cast it onto You, whatever it is that's bothering you. Do that. Begin to do that from today and every day. And you get up in the morning and reminded about that thing that's troubling you. Cast it on the Lord. That's what the Holy Spirit tells us. Cast your burden upon the Lord and He'll sustain you. Never allow the righteous to be shaken. Verse 16, as for me, I shall call upon God and the Lord will save me. Verse 17, evening and morning and at noon I will complain and murmur and He'll hear my voice. So if you have a complaint, you have a complaint about God, complain to Him. He'll hear your voice. He'll listen to you. But cast it onto the Lord. And I believe that that is what God wants us to do, my brothers and sisters, so that we can focus on living our life daily for Him. And not be bogged down, not be weighted down with the worries and cares of this life. That we can live for Him, because we are so precious to Him. Like I said in the beginning, when I awake, I can look into His face. You're still thinking of me. And I want to say to all of us this morning, that's the God of the Bible. That's our Savior. I hope you know Him that way, that you're precious to Him. I hope you are in His arms. And you let Him sustain you and live your life. Lord, I want to live my life as long as You have for me on this earth to glorify Your name. And that is what should be our desire. That was what was Jesus' prayer and desire. He said, what shall I pray? Father, save me from this hour. But He says, for this hour I came. Father, glorify Your name. So may that word encourage us. This is our God who cares for us daily, on a day-to-day basis. So let's live for Him. Let's surrender everything, surrender our lives to Him, and do His will as long as God gives us life on this earth. Shall we bow our heads for a moment before we continue? And think of what God is saying to us. You're precious to Him. I'm precious to Him. You look up into His face and say, Lord, You're still thinking of me. I'm precious to You. I thank you for all the things that you do for me daily. All these things that I've heard that I've taken for granted, but I want to be thankful from this day onwards. Thankful for the word from your mouth that you give me to encourage me. Thankful that I can have the tongue of a disciple, that I can listen morning through morning. Thankful for your mercies, Lord, which are new every day. I'm not conscious of it. I take it for granted. Please forgive me. Your faithfulness, which is so great. And I want to cast all my burdens upon you because you care for me. And I want to say to some of you, cast that burden upon the Lord, whatever it is. He will sustain you. He will not allow the righteous to be shaken. Father, we thank you. You're such a wonderful Father. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for revealing the Father to us. Thank you for your love and care. That we mean so much to you, for your daily care for each one of us. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Our Lord taught us to pray, give us today our daily bread. And we also read, man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word, every promise, every command that proceeds out of the mouth of God. We see in creation that every day God spoke and every day something changed and the earth responded to God's word every day. In the beginning it was empty, null and void and God spoke and the earth responded. The noise ceased, the animal instinct ceased. It was better. I'm trying to picture kind of like myself responding to God. We responding to the word of God. God wants the tumults in our life to cease. The lusts and passions and animal instincts in our life to cease. And when we hear the word of God and respond to it, He will empower us that it may be so. Until the day God led man and woman together to be united. And then God testified, it's very good, very good. The entire world, man is, I mean, the entire, all of creation is a picture of what God wants to do in our homes. God wants us to be united together, husband and wife. And He wants to testify and glorify His name saying, it is very good. And it may be so, it can be so if I respond to His word every day, daily. 2 Peter 1 verse 3. We read there a precious promise. His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness. 2 Peter 1 verse 3 and 4. For by this He has granted us His precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partaker of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. God wants to do that in us daily. He wants us to have a hope that He will do it in us. He wants to write faith in our hearts that daily He is going to deliver. Yet time and time again, we have seen that Satan appears, our flesh is strong, the accuser of the brethren appears to entice, to tempt, to accuse, just like he did in the Garden of Eden in the beginning. And we, in our weakness, in the weakness of our flesh, in our foolishness, we succumb and we give in. I want to refer to Genesis 3 verse 7, what happened in the garden to Adam and Eve. Genesis 3 verse 7, their eyes were opened and they knew they were naked and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loin coverings. Fig leaves, leaves. As soon as they are plucked from the tree, they shrivel, dry up and crumble. It's a picture that if I am trying to cover up by myself, it's completely inadequate to cover my nakedness. My works, even my righteousness, will never be adequate to cover up my sin. And the man and the woman hid themselves in the garden from the presence of God. Then in verse 8, we read a beautiful thing. This is Genesis 3 verse 8. They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And I was picturing it like this, that imagine we have a really tired day. It's in the afternoon, I'm busy at work all afternoon. And then suddenly a friend comes along and says, come, let's go for a chai. Let's go for a tea. I think God was coming to have fellowship with Adam and Eve every day. It was a habit that he was doing. And on that day also he came for a tea with Adam and Eve. And he said, come. God comes for tea with us. I was thinking of Matthew 11 verse 28. There's a version in the Message Bible which says something like this. Are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you burnt out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I believe God wants to do that to us every day. He wants to have fellowship with us. He wants to have a tea with us. But first, the Lord God called out to the man and said to him, where are you? God wants us to be honest about where we are. And if we are honest, he will lead us back to fellowship. I was thinking in Matthew 6, the same chapter where we read, give us today our daily bread, the Lord's Prayer. In that chapter, one phrase keeps on repeating. And the phrase is, you read it in verse 4, verse 6, verse 18. Your Father who sees what is done in secret. Lord, how can I hide anything from you? I don't even want to try. We read from Psalms 139. I believe God is putting it in our hearts for us. I want to read Psalm 139 verses 1 to 6. Lord, you have searched me and known me. You have known when I sit down and when I rise up. You understand my thoughts from afar. You scrutinize my paths and my lying down and are intimately acquainted with all my ways. Even before there is a word on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all. You've enclosed me before and behind and laid a hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's too high. How can I attain to it? Yes, God has made a provision that through our Lord Jesus Christ, we can come back to an intimacy with God. Was thinking of the very name of Jesus in Matthew 1 verse 23. They shall call him Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. God with us when I'm facing the biggest storm in my life. God with us when my pocket is empty. God with us when I can't cope with it. Was thinking of Romans 8 verse 3. I want to read that in the Message Bible. When God sent his son, he didn't deal with the problem as something remote and unimportant. In his son Jesus, he personally took on the human condition, entered the disordered mess of struggling humanity in order to set it right once for all. The Lord Jesus Christ came that I may know God. I may know him intimately. I was thinking of the last word that Jesus, our Lord Jesus said in Matthew 28. Matthew 28 verse 20. And lo, I am with you always, daily, now, always, even to the end of the world. If your world is crumbling and falling apart, this is the promise of God. He is with us. He is with us always. Lo, look, he is with us. He wants us to have that faith in our heart. But Jesus came not only to forgive our sins, he also came to deliver us from our sins. Matthew 1:21, the angel said, "You shall call his name Jesus, because he shall save his people from their sins." In Matthew 6, again where we read the Lord's Prayer, there's another phrase that's repeated again and again and again. It says there, God, and it says there, "Your Father who sees in secret." Your Father who sees in secret. It reminds me that God wants me to know him in secret. He wants to reveal to me. He wants to show me something in secret. God wants us to come back to an intimacy with him. And Jesus has shown us that way. Our Lord Jesus has shown us that way. The way back to intimacy with God. In Isaiah 50 verse 4 we read that, "He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens me, he awakes my ear to listen as a disciple." This is also a prophecy of Jesus, about Jesus. Verses 6 and 7 I want to read. "I gave my back to those who strike me, my cheek to those who pluck out the beard. I did not cover my face from humiliation and spitting, for the Lord helps me. Therefore I will not be disgraced. Therefore I will set my face like a flint, and I know that I will not be ashamed. He who vindicates me is near." It says there, "Therefore I have set my face like a flint." And I think that's a reference to Luke chapter 9 verse 15. This prophecy came true in our Lord Jesus Christ's life. Now it came to pass, Luke chapter 9 verse 15, when the time had come for him to be received up, and this is how he glorified the Lord, that he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. Our Lord Jesus Christ steadfastly set his face. He set his face like a flint to go to the cross. And he calls you and me now to do the same thing. He calls us to follow him. In Luke chapter 9 verse 23 and 24, he tells one more thing he tells us daily. He tells us, "If anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me." That he showed as the secret back to coming to intimacy with God. "Whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake, that is the one who will save it." Our Lord Jesus Christ is pointing us to that secret of what it means to have intimacy back with Christ. We read, and if you go back to Genesis 3, that last, there's a phrase there which talks about the flaming sword that guards the way to life. The flaming sword that guards the way to the tree of life. There is a sword, the cross, that flaming cross, that if I learn to make as a part of my life, then I will also learn the pathway of intimacy with God. May the Lord open my eyes to see this sword every day. May it fall upon me, a rent veil, my flesh, that way that Christ has for me to know him daily.